Recording, we're live. So it's been a long time and we've not talked, and I forgot to turn off notifications. Let's see if I can do this without disconnecting. Because you have notifications on, then when somebody calls you, it interrupts it and cancels the programming. So I did that. I was able to shut it off, but it's recording. So we are fresh off of 2023 Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. Apexoset finished fourth in class. We were 22 seconds off of third place, which seems like a lifetime, but it is Pikes Peak. 20th overall, 9 new records in front of us. It was a fast year, really the best weather year that's been since 2016, 2017. But I am here with Paul and here with Bradley. Bradley of Driven Works, Paul of Apex Auto Works, who's taking care of all of our tuning. But they're here because Paul was this is his second year there, first year being in charge of a car. Bradley's first year being at Pikes Peak. And we're just going to chat real quick and see what we can talk about safety-wise that you saw, thought, or felt. I will add that both are intimidated by heights. We won't use the S word, but we'll say the I word, intimidated. And I'll say this, if you're not intimidated, make a trip up to Pikes Peak and tell me you're not. Because it's pretty fucking far down at times.
We can use the scared word. I'm not afraid to admit.
It's a long ways up.
It's a long ways up and a long ways down.
Yeah, so there's some challenges. But I would just open it up. You know, what do you have to say to those people listening? What do we have to offer and add? And I'll say this. Every year after an event like this, I have at least 5 text messages. Man, you are living the dream. You're doing the coolest shit. You're doing what I dream about. What I will respond to that too, and what I've told all of them is, get off your ass and go do it.
First of all, I think it's a little more work than people realize. Living the dream, so to speak.
It's work.
It's long days. It's up early, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody. But
is it
worth it?
It's absolutely more time than dollars.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Completely.
It's time. You've got to be willing to put the sweat equity in, and go do it. And it's difficult. It's not easy. There's no part of it that's fucking easy. You're right.
No,
so living the dream,
everybody be doing it.
We're working for the dream.
Right.
I think the living the dream part of it is when you're a small team from Texas, you go up there, you bust your ass all week, fight the issues like everybody else did. I mean,
everybody was fighting issues. Even factory cars. Still using the exact same dyno 3 days straight before we got there.
When you pull off a respectable time off up the mountain, the guy makes it up in one piece. You come in fourth in class and 20th overall, which is the top third of the field.
And drove the car into the trailer.
Yeah.
And I mean,
drove the car out the trailer when we got home.
Yeah, and still ran okay.
Still ran okay, even with that altitude.
I didn't blip the throttle or anything stupid. I moved it.
I told him, I'll plug into that thing soon and we'll put it back to sea level settings.
Pull out instead of...
That's the dream, I think, part of it for me is we did really well as a small, low budget.
Unreal. What budget?
Right. I mean,
your budget.
Like, how much did you get paid? Not a fucking dime, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what nobody understands. Like, oh, if you've got a week, 2 weeks of vacation, you want to come play with us? Fucking come along. There's plenty of work you can do. There's things we can teach you. Absolutely, but don't think this is some deal where we are retiring off of this. This is making a man's dream come true this year. It was getting our car back on the mountain, and we did it in spades. It was amazing. For all the challenges and adversity that we had, which isn't any different than others. I mean, there were others that were fighting up until the point of the start. I mean, Dahlenbach this year had just one hell of a year. 3 motors, 1 drivetrain issue. And still did not get to actually take the green flag,
and I
right?
I would bet money he had more budget than we did, but...
I promise.
I agree.
We're supposed to be driving an Aston Martin this year, I believe.
I would have loved it if we had podiums, so to speak, in our class.
That would have been fucking unreal.
But to be right outside of that, all things considered, I think is...
Well, you take the 9 records out in front of the 20. We're 20th. You take 9 records out. It's 11th without people that weren't setting records. I mean, that's unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, what a year for Pikes Peak. And then you talk about stuff like Robin Shute his car actually stalling in one of the corners.
I watched his
three times trying to restart it and still ran an 814.
840.
Yeah, 840 flat. No, I didn't see that.
That's unreal.
I haven't seen his race pass. I saw his qualifying pass, yeah, which was amazing.
And then you go. Cody Vacholtz is another one to watch. Like, his onboard, he is planted, car is positioned, car is rotating. It is amazing. Obviously, learn to drive on dirt.
Yeah.
Obviously, and just rotates that rear-wheel drive car to the nth degree.
I haven't seen anything about the van.
There's a loss of the van. So the van stuff, I think, is being kept hush-hush because they're doing the documentary.
Okay.
It's planned to be a 2.5-hour documentary on Supervan 4, evolving into 4.2,
right,
concluding with Pikes Peak. I picked up one of the documentary guys on the way down because traffic was not moving. I was like, do you want to ride? He's like, oh, yeah, please, please, please. I'm going to hop in. So we got him in the back of Brian's Jeep, brought it down, and I got to learn quite a bit about the movie. They've been filming for like 8 months. So
did he tell you they dropped from four motors to three?
Yeah.
For energy conservation.
Yeah. To get to the top. Otherwise. Well, and I'll add this, and this is like not on safety, but it is. This is maybe a stab at the non-internal combustion engines. Is every electric vehicle driver that I spoke to at the top, which was all except for Miss Block, they were overheating and managing heat on the way up. Not out of power, but managing heat before the battery shut everything down. The Rivian was 2 degrees. He's there for the last 4 miles. Last 4 miles. It's only a 12-mile race. Last 4 miles, you're within 2 degrees. He's like, you guys ran like 60, 70% throttle just to make sure I made it to the top. So, electric, as much as we want it, as much as we think it's the answer to a lot of our problems in America, it's not the answer to your problems in America. I just don't think it is yet.
No, I don't
think so. Technology is not there.
I don't know that it will ever be there.
And that's like goes back to the Ford van. Well, when we went right to, they were building it, we started talking about the cage. Well, the batteries are built at the bottom of the cage. They're outside the cage, technically. So to me, that creates a pendulum effect when a car rolls. For example, Old Smoky, rolling. Oh, but it meets the FIA spec for the weight. Yes, it does, but that weight's outside the cage, and it is just gonna turn that van over and over. Now, you've got a driver like Romain Dumas, you don't expect him to put it off. We also did not expect Old Smoky to go off, either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So talk to me about safety. What did you see that was new that you hadn't seen before? Anything?
I mean, I
haven't been around it enough to really see a ton of it.
Anything you saw different than road race? How about that, Bradley?
I mean, other than open wheel cars having to have a cage around the cockpit, I mean, there's not.
Well, there's a reason for that.
No, I understand.
It was a guardrail.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Spencer Steel.
Nobody wants to be decapitated.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as
makes them look weird and
regular
funny.
Safety goes, now reading the rule book
and
building my own car, we're, you know, about a 16th of an inch away from being able to use the cage I have, but I can't, unless I weighed nothing.
But, not nothing, it's still like double nothing.
Is there a diet
nothing
for
is
that
right. Yeah. So if I get the car under 3,000 pounds, then I have to be whatever that weight difference is, which is going to happen. So. I mean, rules.
What do you expect your car to weigh?
I think without me in it, I think we can get around the 2950 mark.
Okay. But with you,
with me,
be over three.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Pikes Peak weighs with driver versus NASA and SCCA.
Driver and gear. Yeah.
Yeah, they weigh without. Driver and gear. It's going to be a dry car, empty weight, versus Pikes Peak is driver with weight. So.
I don't, and this is going to sound really bad, but I don't think the rule actually stipulates fuel and oil in the car.
It doesn't
stipulate. Except that you have to start it and kill the master switch. So you want some oil in it, some fuel. But on my car, that's 50 pounds that you can take out.
Yeah. My car is only 7 quarts, so it's not much.
The gasoline, 12 gallons?
Yeah, 12, 14. Yeah.
Seven pounds a gallon at 70 pounds.
Well, they do weigh you as you're going up the line.
Right, but you just take
only an open
fuel
wheel
out.
That's now, only open for
wheel,
open wheel cars.
Open wheel is only when you get weighed race day. That's it.
Oh, really?
All cars get weighed during tech. Only open wheel gets weighed on race day.
And you are weighed at tech so that we know what cage standard to set up. But if you roll across the scales lighter, per the rules, that's where you're at.
Right.
So you asked me the question about safety. I'm going to go out and say this.
I'll be good.
I missed all the tech end stuff when I went in 21 with Raymond. I didn't come in until Thursday.
Oh, so that was your first time walking
so
through that?
So that was my first time actually going through tech and the debate on the fire extinguisher thing. And, you know, I mean, I guess the only thing I could say if I was to critique the tech people a little bit is everybody should be on the same page on what's allowed and what's not allowed. Because you got two guys saying, oh, no, you can't do this. You have to mount these on the floor. And already in my head, I'm going, oh, it's going to be a long day of moving stuff around. And then the senior guy comes over and goes, oh, no, no, no. There's two of them there. There's 20 total pounds of fire extinguisher media. They're good.
So on a follow-up to that, you were teching a car that is technically owned by a tech inspector. Tech inspector, that being me, stepped aside and said, I don't want to be involved with this. You guys tech the car. So to say that it was scrutinized a little bit more is very fair. Okay. Second thing I'll say is understand that I was playing the rules this year. I will not break rules. I will bend. I will push rules forever. And that's how I read and that's how I write rules. The rule this year was you either had two fire extinguishers making 20 pounds BC or you had an onboard fire system. Having the two fire extinguishers was a little more weight, about 3 pounds, but it allowed me to put 9 pounds over the right rear tire.
Counterbalancing the driver.
So we took the fire system out of the car and put two fire extinguishers in, because it's a steel car, there's not much that's gonna burn, and said, let's put this all the way to the back, right rear, and let's balance this thing out. That's how we ended up 50-50, 50-50. And I'm sure there are other cars at Pikes Peak that were at that balance. I don't think there's more than two. I really don't. It is unreal to get a car that
depending on the car type, it's not that easy to do.
No, not at all.
So your car especially, I was not expecting a 50-50 because, I mean, yes, it's an aluminum block LS.
Right.
So it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
But there really ain't much in the back other than an axle and a fuel tank. So...
Yeah,
I guess you have a lightweight drive shaft.
Well,
yeah. Driver, like this, like that, like that, like yeah,
driver
yeah.
being a little further back in the cab area would, I guess, yeah. would offset some of that engine. But yeah, I was surprised myself to see the 50-50.
You should be in my head when that picture came through from Jim at MSR. It was like you talk about that stuff, you dream about that stuff, you build to it, and to actually achieve it was just like holy crap, like. We did it. Like, you want to celebrate and do a dance, but nobody's around. Nobody cares. Like, nobody even... The people inside the circle know the difference it makes, but if you're outside the circle, you don't know. You don't understand
the value. Well, I will say
the value.
There were a bunch of people that walked up and went, hey, is that engine offset?
Just a little.
Sure is.
That's all kudos of Lance. Lance is like, we can move that over. He's like, let's do it. He's like, got any motor plates? I'm like, I'll order them today. Like, they're coming in. And... probably the best decision we made on that car was that 4-inch offset to the right. It changed so much.
It made my life hell making the oil lines off the oil pump, but...
Yeah.
But...
You survived, didn't you?
I did.
Dude, it's tight, though. Like, they go in tight. Order. Like, you can't do them out of order.
They go on and off in order. There's only one way to do it. Because it's tight right up against the frame tube. So
I saw it. I tried getting my hands in there while doing wiring.
At least the pan, you can do whatever. But when it comes to the bottom of the oil pump, it's one way.
So let's talk about the people of Pikes Peak. The people you met, some from Colorado, some from Sweden, some from the UK, some from Romania. Talk about the people you met while you were at Pikes Peak. The experience of... the culture of Pikes Peak.
I'll let you go.
He's like, damn, I'm on the spot.
Okay,
he got engaged. He was focused on other shit. He got engaged.
I was, no, obviously, you know, I was focused on the car as well as sneaking away for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Douchebags wouldn't let me go.
No, so. I mean, we had work to do, so we didn't know what you were trying to do.
Hey,
no, we didn't.
That's why you're like, I'm going to lunch. I'm like, I'm going to the mountains later. So.
No, I get it.
Way Garden of the Gods?
After knowing,
yeah, that's where we went.
See? Told you. I'm good. See? Yeah. Called that one. I would have told you a Cave of the Winds go in the dark, get them people involved, and then blow the candles out, and then candles come back on with a light. It would have been good.
That would have been good.
Anyway, I wasn't consulted.
You didn't consult.
I'm not that creative, though, when it comes to.
Oh, we right. would have like helped that. You, but what yeah, you yeah. did was good.
No. You were good. We're not slamming it up.
No.
Talk to me about people.
People in Colorado.
Not or the pothead side of Colorado. Not yeah. the homeless side
not,
of Colorado.
Not the Austin side. Right?
The crop top dude with the leggings on, the cat leggings, and the suspenders.
From the race standpoint, dealing with people in the pits and all that, to me it was like any other race where everybody was very willing to help each other. People needed tools. I mean, you know, we helped people. Hey, we need air. They were, you know, whatever. It was, I think a majority of people are friendly in those situations.
Yeah, I was going to say, as hectic as it was, everybody's working, everybody's moving around. It's like a bunch of tiny little ants going crazy. But everybody was cool. Everybody was, as stressed as they were relaxed. Everybody was friendly. Everybody was, Tanner Faust walked in for me, like right next to me one day. Of course, I wasn't going to fangirl over him, but I wanted to, right?
It's hard not
like,
to, right?
Hey, what's
it's
up, Tanner? Dude? And it's he's Tanner. Like, hey, man, how are you? I'm like, doing good, how are you? He's like, good. And that was it. That was our conversation. But I mean,
I'm better. Reach over, pat him on the ass.
We're up at when we were up at Devil's Playground. You weren't feeling good. We're right next to Randy Pope's, and I follow his YouTube and some other things. But I just in passing, hey Randy, how you doing? He's like, hey bud, how you doing? Like he knew me, and he doesn't. He has no clue who I am. You know what I mean?
My favorite thing was I have a picture of it when the way we were warming up Mad Mike's car. Mad Mike was standing in the crowd with everybody watching his team warm up his car.
And it's cool as
hanging
shit.
Out, yeah.
It's cool as shit.
I was like, I got to get a picture of that because that's not something you see.
Yeah. And how do you tell people that? Like, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And it's just like, to see that, and it's specifically to Mad Mike, to see specifically that he is that geeked out at what he gets to do is what makes him so cool to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, how the fuck did I get here? And I think the three of us at this table are kind of the same way. It's just like, how do we get here? How did I get to the point that people think I'm living the dream? And I'm like, just another guy fucking working like you do. Like, I am.
We're 2 days home, and I'm like, okay, what are we going to do to be better next year?
Dude, the list is long.
Yeah. My plan for next year is to crew with you again, and then I would like to be able to have my car there and me as a driver year two. So,
fucking cool.
It would be.
God,
as much as I am scared of heights, I...
But you focus on the road.
Yeah.
Stay close to the cliff.
I can overcome it.
Yeah.
Also, like, when I drove up by myself the freaking morning I was sick, I had to vomit because of my driving by the time I got there, but...
Not your driving.
Well...
Your driving's not that bad to make yourself throw up. That's...
No. It
that's
was
not,
the windy...
That's not selling me on your driving skill.
It's the 146 turns to get to where we were going while feeling nauseous as crap already. There we go.
Better. I like that one. I got better. Yeah.
I got behind some dude in a Tesla, and we were rolling, and the edge of that cliff, I didn't even think about it.
No, you're just driving.
Yeah, we were driving. Of course,
so that
the
same...
first time we went to the top, I had Paul, Vincent, and Charles was with us, so there was a lot more liability than just me in my own car. So, but you take three lives out of it, and it's just me in my car.
It's different.
Everything changed. I didn't feel the same, even though I... Looking over the edge of darkness.
Felt the same. I think it's worse. It's worse in the morning because you can see the lights fucking 15, 16 miles away.
That's what got me.
And it's like, wow, I'm a long ways up.
I'm dragging a 28-foot trailer in a 3/4-ton crew cab truck up this mountain. You don't really realize because it's dark. It was completely dark. And it was foggy in spots. And then you get kind of above where the fog is and it clears a little bit. And you see city lights that are like way down.
A long
way.
Like words, pictures don't do it justice. You have to be there.
No, I have a picture.
You can't tell.
I little dots on the map.
I'm not normally an anxiety kind of person, but I'm like, it's like, just watch the road, Dad. It'll be all right, you know.
My favorite thing is that long road that's up towards the top that you're going fast on. When you look to the right, was nothingness.
Oh,
when it was dark. It's just, you couldn't see anything.
No.
It was just darkness.
Absolute space.
Yeah. That was a little eerie. Yeah.
So to me, I find the guardrails more intimidating than not.
Really?
The guardrail to me says, don't fuck up here. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of guardrail Pikes Peak. The guardrail Pikes Peak are the points where you do not want to go over the edge.
Yeah, and realistically, if you were to hit that guardrail, it's going to say, eh.
Yeah,
and then you're going to go
maybe.
Right.
I mean, Spencer Steele proved that he hit it like probably 95, maybe 100 mile an hour. And it came all the way to the actual front cage of his Indy car. And really? he moved the guardrail, but it stopped.
Really?
Wow.
And you're talking, what, 1,400 pounds, 1,500 pound car at 95 mile an hour, guardrail stopped.
Your 8,000 pound truck pulling that 28 foot trailer would go through.
I'm not going to bet on that, okay? But I need you to drive it next year as well. So I'm not going to say a lot about that.
Okay, then.
I mean, my thought was a 3,000 pound car, a 3,300 pound car, which is going to be probably average weight for street cars. Unless it's Ray's Viper, I think it's still 3,800 pounds or something crazy like that. But, I mean, those tiny little 4x4s holding up that wood.
It doesn't seem like a lot, does it?
No, it doesn't
seem like a lot.
It's funny, that morning that I was feeling so bad when we were driving down, I was like, man, what happened if you passed out and just drove off the mountain? Because I know people pass out. I know. That's what I was going to say.
Sorry about
Richard,
that story.
Four hours or so later, is like, yeah, we had a transmission and oil cleanup. Somebody went off the mountain. I was like, what? Who? Dad with his kids passed out and drove off the side of the mountain.
Wife and kids, okay. He went into medical treatment and was good, but the car's a write-off. So,
yeah.
I mean, luckily nobody was there.
I could live with that, though. If everybody's okay, I could.
Yeah, for
sure. Cars can be replaced. Lives cannot.
Well, I mean, it definitely makes me feel better.
Yeah.
A little more comfortable about racing it. Old Smokey was beat. You can tell it went end over end over end over end. But everywhere there was proper roll cage, it held up.
Yep.
Like, the cab might even be reusable.
Parts of it, for sure.
But, and then that Camaro that fenced himself during practice, I mean...
It happens.
They're rebuilding it. It's mostly rebuilt. They're going to be back this weekend.
Yeah.
Like...
They were close to making it for the event.
Yeah.
Their front end took a big hit on that. And that's Tommy. Tommy is full send.
They're from Texas as well.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Just sold. But Tommy is... Amazing talent, knows Pikes Peak very well. He's either full send, and in my opinion, it ends up wadding shit up. hits something tight. There's like the 16th of an inch off is all it takes to Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
Just a little bit off. Or they've had mechanical issues because they make so much fucking power.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like 1,500 horse now out of that fucking Camaro.
So I got to
say turbo
this.
LS. It sounds amazing.
It does. I heard it in 21.
It's fucking amazing car.
It was like blue and yellow. It looked like it was Optima color or whatever, or Optimus.
So it was wrapped then. Now it's actually paint. It's a different level when you get to the car. It's fucking beautiful.
The shocker for me was the BMW SUV.
That hurt.
The gate.
That hurt.
Well,
but here's the thing. He'd ramped up over the days. I wasn't there at the start. I'm just taking your guys' word on it.
We watched him in practice, man. And I mean, that thing shouldn't get, but...
Yeah, and he was more calm and collected, it seemed, in practice. And then race day, he almost wadded it off the start.
Yeah.
I mean, coming through the...
He didn't make it much past the start.
No, I mean, what? A couple minutes, four minutes past the start, because it came back pretty quick. But, I mean, even the commentators were like, whoa! He needs to tame it down a little bit, because he went through the start traps, all four wheels sideways, all the way to the shoulder, what little shoulder there is right there.
What did you think, though? Was that just excitement, nerves, it's race day, I got to send it? I mean...
I think my thought is on that, because it is such a big, heavy car, he acclimated himself through practice and thought, this is how far I can push this car. And then maybe thought, I got an extra 5 or 10%. I haven't pushed it past the safety margin, so let's push it a little bit harder on race day, and I think 7,000 pounds get out from underneath you real quick.
Yeah.
Because once, like we're talking about earlier, about snaps,
it's
7,000 pounds snaps.
You're along for the ride. Well, Dahlenbach went off, was it turn 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? Full send into the woods. The video is breathtaking. Just Google or YouTube, Pikes Peak crashes. Evo is usually number one, which is Jeremy Foley and Yuri. I'm not going to pronounce his last name, but okay. And then the second one to me is Dahlenbach going off in the trees. Yeah, and it's the crowd actually recovering Dahlenbach in the car before the safety crew is there.
We watched that one when we were up there.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it was on one of those crash videos we had on the TV the one night, where the crowd goes over the side and pulls him back up.
Yep.
I was running on so little sleep, I don't remember that at all.
I remember
watching videos, but I don't remember that portion of it.
It's amazing what the crowd can do for you in both positive and negative. The crowd will amp you up and get you to do things that are just kind of silly.
So you probably should.
Get you jittery and
the
dumb.
Jittery, and then the other thing, if you stood up in a room and talked in front of 25 people, we did it at school. Well, now if you stood up in a room and talked in front of 2,500 people, well, most people haven't done that.
Right.
Now let's ask you to perform in front of a group of 30,000 spectators. It's a different pressure. It's a different it's a different level. And not everybody sees it that way. I bet many don't. But in reality, when you're going up that mountain, you've got 25, 30,000 people that have paid $100 a piece to stand there and watch you race by.
Yeah.
You've got to be on your game. You need a car that looks the part.
They're expecting a show.
You need a car that hauls ass. And I think we delivered.
Yeah.
In spades, honestly.
Definitely. When I was driving the car back to the trailer, all the little kids freaking loving it. Rev it. So, I mean, it had to
little
be some,
blip,
right?
Blip, blip, blip. Yep, got to.
Absolutely. I mean,
and it's so...
Well, you're sparking the dreams for next year, next 5 years, next 10 years.
That's like, why I like it at FanFest. Like, you're one of the few people that lets kids climb in the car, get in it, check it out, take pictures. Not everybody does that.
There was even adults getting in the car. Yeah. Like, disconnect the battery. That way they touch any buttons, it's okay. We're locked in a gear, hop in, you know?
That's stuff people will remember. Don't get me wrong, the cars in the Toyo Tires booth were cool.
Yep.
Amazing cars.
Couldn't touch them.
And honestly, the fact is, there were so many people crowded around them, it was hard to even get pictures of them. I didn't get pictures of any of the cars other than that FRS that kid built when he was going to college. Have you seen that?
No.
It's LS Watt built the whole thing himself. It's a beautiful car.
Nice.
There was a write-up on that one.
Yeah. There's a whole YouTube art audio of it.
But yeah, there was. I remember reading an article about it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful car.
It's a nice build.
So warning to everybody that's listening to this podcast. As much fun as we're having, Butler's about to walk into the scene. So there's going to be a dick joke or a dildo joke here in a second. Little Popinar going on. And let's see what happens. Where the fuck you going? We're over here. Benche Otto?
I don't even know who Butler is.
Really? Butler's customer number 2.
Okay.
Technically customer number 1, but he likes to reference to number 2 better than number 1.
Okay. He doesn't like to admit that he spends more money than
No. Like number 2 being...
He's like...
Go number 2 versus.
That's funny.
He's customer number 2.
I got you.
So we could do like 8 more of these, guys. I plan to get onto this back to once a week, sharing videos and confirmation with you of things we do. We're at 27 minutes. I apologize for the delay. We will keep it under 30, but we're gonna get some more recorded and enjoy this and give us a follow. Appreciate your time. Anything else? You good?
Not at the moment.
We'll do some more. We'll get together and figure some shit out. Appreciate it.